For several hours, language had coursed through him as if it were oil or wax that becomes more pliant when subjected to movement and heat. His pen had yielded what he called the juice. A few of the letters were personal, playful, brimming with witty images, self-mocking asides and details of his everyday life. Others barely contained a proper greeting before unfolding an extended and precise reflection on a particular question or problem. Throughout the morning, Rilke had conversed intimately with a series of individuals, ever so slightly inflecting his voice for each of them. In the process of writing his letters, he had advanced not only his thinking, but also his language. Since these were letters destined to leave him within hours, however, they served a different function from the journal, diary, and notebooks kept by Rilke to jot down drafts and ideas as potential seeds for longer poems. The letters became the rehearsal space, on which Rilke lifted the curtain on his creative process just enough to fend off the sense of isolation that threatened to undermine his hard-won and cherished solitude. "In addition to my voice, which points beyond me," he writes in a letter of January 24, 1920, "there is still the sound of that small longing which originates in my solitude and which I have not entirely mastered, a whistling, woeful tone that blows through a crack in this leaky solitude. It calls out, alas, and summons others to me." The work pen had not been touched. No poem had been born, and a few of the sheets reserved only for verse had even been conscripted when the stationery had run out. Pages and pages had been filled. And although Rilke sent these letters out, he had amassed and saved for others the wealth of expressed ideas, striking images, and verbalized thoughts that he would later distill into the denser shapes of his poetic work. Rainer Maria Rilke's work has captured the imagination of musicians, philosophers, artists, writers, and poetry lovers, and it has extended the reach of poetry to people rarely concerned with human utterances cast in verse. Marlene Dietrich, Martin Heidegger, and Warren Zevon all recited Rilke poems by heart. This capacity of Rilke's words to touch such different people as if each word had been written just for them, aside from his esteem among fellow poets and academics, lends his poetry its force and has saved his work from becoming simply an artifact of the civilization that Hegel first called Old Europe. The power of Rilke's writings results from his capacity to interlock the description of everyday objects, minute feelings, small gestures, and overlooked things, that which makes up the world for each of us, with transcendent themes. By interlocking the everyday and the transcendent, Rilke suggests in his poetry, and minutely explains in his letters, that the key to the secrets of our existence might be found right in front of our eyes. This suggestion is not solely the province of Rilke's poetry, which amounts to 11 collections published before his death in 1926, and a large number of posthumously published poems. He was a prodigious letter writer, and in his astoundingly vast correspondence, Rilke let go of the constraints of German verse to produce powerful and accessible reflections on a vast range of topics. For good reason, the relatively scant amount of Rilke's words so far available in English have already become perennial favorites at weddings and graduation ceremonies, and they are placed on the walls of hospitals and nursery schools. Rilke possessed the uncanny ability to phrase the most profound experiences and emotions with great precision and without detaching them from the lived reality in which they arise or to which they respond. This audiobook contains these words, which Rilke intended to be used in and for life. He did not want his writing to be put under glass like orchids made of silk, but instead hoped it would be read irreverently, spoken not only by professional custodians of high culture, but breathed deeply into the messiness of life that no one can avoid. Rilke points out that we can be shaken by losses and by gains, and that we may be unsettled as much by negative encounters, adversity, difficulty, illness, loss, and death, is by the peculiar intensification of our being in the experience of joy, friendship, creation, and especially love. He also stresses that during those experiences, even when they bring us closer to others, we are fundamentally alone.